The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this second day of March, Thursday, 2023. And tonight we have that rising star in broadcasting on the board. He is the producer, none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And way out yonder, we have, in Illinois, we have none other than, well, it's that time of month. It's that time of month. We have here Dr. Peter J. Glidden.
Hey, 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 Pastor Sanders. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, we have a lot to do. We have a lot to do. You ready tonight? You ready to really go for it?
I was born ready, brother. Let's go.
All righty. We got to start off with my most sincere condolences for family and friends. Well, you've known him over the years. You would hear him call in on the radio, and he was known as G.B. Lightning, G.B. Lightning. And his real name was Gary Broberg. And for many, many years, again, he would call in and he would be a contributor to the radio program. Gary was a very stalwart Christian man. He often would come out and spend some time when I was doing my work in that and just fellowship with us. But his heart was sold out to the Lord and country. He was a patriot, and Gary went home to be with the Lord. Well, he went home to be with the Lord on the 28th, which is Tuesday. And he leaves behind his brother Jack Broberg and Bob Broberg and his sister-in-law Carlene Broberg and his nieces Jennifer, Jackie, and Kim. He's going to have a private family funeral, and that's the way he wanted it. And, well, it's our loss, and it's heaven game. We miss you, Brother Gary. God bless you, and I know that wherever you're at, you'll always, as you say too, keep fighting that fight. We're going to get right into the message tonight, Peter. And the title of the message this week was Things That They Say God Got Wrong. And we were listening to the Apostate Church of England. I was listening, in fact, we played a film of these, the Apostate Church in England, and they were talking about things that God had gotten wrong. You see, according to them, and I'm talking about these so-called apostate bishops, Sarah Mahaley, Justin Welby, and Stephen Cantrell, who were saying, and Sarah was saying how she was speaking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was telling her that the Bible got it wrong. The Word of God got it wrong. But where it came to sexuality and marriage, and along with witchcraft and other things, that God got it wrong. But they, the Church of England, the apostates. Now, I do want to say there were a few within that stood up against them. And let them know exactly what they were, that they were apostate, and that they were really in the Church of Satan. And that's what it's become. The Church of England has become the Church of Satan. But anyhow, we've been going through the Scripture. We were taking a look at the great apostasy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We took a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostate, how it identified these people so clearly. And then in Romans chapter 12, it was a very interesting thing, because here, Peter, you really have to just scratch your head at these people, because they were talking about how, and they took and they perverted Romans chapter 12 to say, well, let me just take you there real quickly, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about being not conformed to the world. And here we read this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. That word reasonable is the same word we use for logical service, which is logical, okay? And then it says, now listen, be not conformed to the world, but by transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you know, here's what they did with this verse. Well, I heard, this was a different apostate. This was another apostate that came out. And he was saying how what that really means is the renewing of your mind is learning that times have changed and learning to accept the way things are today, to accept the mindset, to accept the behavior of people today, and that what God has called sin and what God has called abominable no longer is. But because today we accept child killing, we accept sodomy, we accept pedophilia, this is the renewing of your mind by accepting the sin of today. Okay? Now, there's a real problem with that, because God says that he's immutable. He's the same today, tomorrow, forever. His word does not change, not at all, not an iota, okay? And so these people are very delusional, and they're in for an extremely rude awakening. And so,
well, you can rationalize anything, right?
Well, if you're reprobate, you can. You'd have to have a... You have to be reprobate to do that. Now, here, one of the other things, they said God has got the divine institution. The very first divine institution that God gave man was marriage and the family. That was it, okay? And they say God got that wrong, too. But here's what God says about marriage in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, here, a number of theologians believe that the deep sleep was really a primeval practice primeval picture of the second death, of the second man over... In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Adam, which was the second Adam, not the second man, but the second Adam, which was Christ. So this is a picture of the sacrificial death that would result in the formation of the bride of Christ, his church. And as Eve became Adam's bride, the church, because through Christ's sacrificial death, the church became his bride. He goes on to say, And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. Who would have thought that you could find out exactly what a woman is with one verse here in the Bible, huh?
Man, would you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. I mean, and yet out there, I mean, you can run for office, you can be nominated for the Supreme Court and have no idea what a woman is, even if you are one, right?
It's pretty crazy.
Well, therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife. Now, here he's very, very expressive, very clear that a wife can only be a woman, okay? Buttigieg, you know, little Buttigieg, the one that's been running around, instead of doing what he's supposed to be, the transportation secretary, instead of doing that job, he runs around and he finds things like racist roads and racist bridges, and
yeah. And Mayor Pete,
little Petey Buttigieg, and talking about how he will be known. He come right out and said that he will be known for his position on equity and the environment. But he's going to be known. He'll be known as a fool. I mean, even today he's already known. I mean, everybody says, where was Little Pete? And Little Petey wasn't there. Little Petey never was here in Ohio, where we had this horrible, horrible thing in East Palestine. And Little Petey had no idea about the conditions of the train tracks across the country. No, he's concerned with equity and somebody's sexuality. And after all, I mean, Little Petey took a maternity leave. And Little Petey has a husband. So that would make Little Petey the wife, except for Little Petey doesn't know. Listen, God made it clear only a woman can be a wife. You see, God created the woman, and he gave us the definition of a woman, and he gave us the definition of a wife. And so that's what you call in the courts today settled law.
Right.
So only a fool would argue with God. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and regretfully, the world is populated with fools now in powers of position.
Absolutely. And they were both naked, and the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. Today, the fools are not ashamed because they, for the most part, have become totally reprobate. They no longer have the ability, okay, to have shame. They no longer know right from wrong anymore. I want to go over to Matthew chapter 19. And in Matthew chapter 19, we read here, because, again, they were talking about how God got it wrong. He got the institution of marriage wrong. And so I'll be there in just a second, I think. Okay, Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Did you hear that? Male and the only two genders that God made. He didn't make any other than male and female. Do you know any that are either male, that are neither male nor female?
Pete Buttigieg?
Well, see, Petey, Petey doesn't understand. See, Petey doesn't know that he's not a woman. The liberals there, what was her name, Chimpanzee or whatever, she didn't know, she was a woman and didn't know that. Now, Petey's not a woman, but he doesn't know that.
We've devolved into insanity. It's got to be the end times, Pastor. I don't know. It's crazy out here, man.
Yeah. That's the way we started out. And so here, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father. Now, fathers can only be males, and mother. Mothers can only be females. And shall cleave to his wife. Wives can only be females, you see. And the twain shall be one flesh. In other words, through the union of the man and the woman, the sperm and the egg, a new person is created, and from the two. Okay, therefore, they are no more twain, meaning two, but one flesh. What therefore God, now listen to this, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So let me ask you this. Do you know what the second shortest verse in the whole Bible is?
I do not.
Well, the shortest verse is Jesus wept, two words. The second shortest is found over in Malachi 2, and that is God hates divorce. God hates divorce. Yep. So that's why I've been married now going on 55 years, because I know that God hates divorce. And if God hates it, I hate it too, right? So, and then I want to just go over very quickly to Hebrews chapter 13. And I'll be right there in just a second here. In Hebrews chapter 13, just one verse, and we read this one verse. Ready? Verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So God will judge premarital sex, extramarital sex, homosexual sex, incestuous sex, or all of those things that reprobate generation, that reprobate liberal, what they call woke generation, commit all of those abominable sins and transgressions against God. All of those, God says he's going to judge it. He's going to judge it. And, there you go. In fact, that's the last three words. Ready? Let me read that again. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let me ask you this, Peter. Does God always do what he says he'll do?
100% of the time.
We've got over 6,000 years of documented history to say, well, that's true. And so there you go. I'm going to stop right there and then get into a couple of things that you might be interested in. First of all, we're going to play a clip of a scientist, a senator, in fact. He's a scientist and an Australian senator. And he tells you in 90 seconds, he makes it very, very clear about this whole hallucination of climate change. Style, do you have that clip there? Go ahead and take her away.
As an engineer educated in atmospheric gases, and as a business manager, I was responsible for hundreds of people's lives based on my knowledge of atmospheric gases. I listen to scientists, I cross-examine scientists, and I debate the science. I have never found anyone with logical scientific points based on empirical scientific evidence that shows we have anything to worry about at all. And the basics are this. When you burn a hydrocarbon fuel, you burn molecules containing carbon and hydrogen. With oxygen, they form CO2, carbon dioxide, and H2O, water vapor. That's it. Carbon dioxide is essential for all life. But let's go beyond the science and have a look at natural experiment. We've had two natural experiments, global experiments, in the last 14 years. The first was in 2009, when the use of hydrocarbon fuels and the recession that followed the global financial crisis reduced. There was less carbon dioxide produced from human use of hydrocarbons. And what happened to the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere? It kept increasing. And what happened in 2020, when we had a major recession, almost a depression around the world as a result of COVID restrictions placed by governments? We saw the same reduction in hydrocarbon fuel used by humans, the same cut in carbon dioxide output from humans, and yet carbon dioxide in the atmosphere continued increasing. And those who understand the science understand that it is fundamental. Humans cannot and do not affect the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. It's controlled by nature entirely.
All right. Do you have any argument with that, Peter?
No, I have no argument with that whatsoever. And it's interesting. It makes me think about something that comes up in the wonderful world of medicine all the time. There's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics. People can use really bad science and really bad statistics to their advantage whenever they want. And this is what's happening with the climate people who are saying that, we're going to die in 25 years because the polar bears are are floating away on the icebergs, and the everything is getting warm, and it's horrible, and it's bad, and it's horrible, and it's bad, and just follow the science. They did the same thing with COVID, just follow the science. And what they meant was just follow the science that we follow, and it's really a problem. This is really a problem in the world at large, because we have been socialized to believe that the scientist is objective, and that the scientists should be trusted. And I'm here to tell you, after 34 years of clinical experience, that is not correct. The science, you can trust the science, but you should be very, very, very afraid of the scientists.
Well, we are, and, you know, because of what you just said, over 60 million households have received these little COVID testing kits. And did you receive one of those by chance?
No, I didn't. But, you know, the test kits are, they're not sensitive. They're not specific. They give inaccurate readings all of the time.
Well, my wife received three and I received three. I never ordered them. I never asked for them, but they came. And, well, there's something we should know about them. So, Stiles, do you have that clip? Go ahead and bring that clip up.
Now, for the 60 million people who are receiving those free government-issued at-home COVID tests, the extraction tube in many of the kits includes a chemical that can be harmful or even deadly. It's colorless, tasteless, odorless. It's a powder that's found in things like airbags and pest control solutions. Maya Belay from our Cleveland station checks in with Poison Control for a look at the potential dangers.
Ohio poison control centers are sounding the alarm surrounding a liquid substance called sodium azide, found in some at-home COVID testing kits that could be toxic to children as well as adults if used incorrectly.
Our toxicology community has been both surprised that this was an ingredient in some of the kits and also concerned. We have seen exposures in all age groups.
The Drug and Poison Information Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital reports an increase in calls to their hotline related to accidental exposure to the substance. So far, nearly 40 exposures were reported there, and the problem is nationwide.
We are one of 55 poison control centers, and nationwide, other poison centers have been reporting a similar finding, and there have been more than a couple of hundred exposures nationwide to sodium azide in test kits.
Doctors advise parents to keep the kits out of reach of children and when testing children for COVID at home to make sure they are supervised in order to avoid any adverse side effects from exposure.
Sodium azide can be toxic to humans, to animals, and things that it can cause that we would want to look out for would be like low blood pressure, weakness, fatigue, people passing out.
If an accident occurs, call the nearest poison control center.
All righty. You know.
Oh, the poison control center because you got a COVID test kit. Isn't that just great? The government takes care of everybody, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. And here now, you know, back, going all the way back to the 80s, we were doing programs and we were telling people all the way back in the 80s that you had this World Health Organization and you had this globalist New World Order. At that time, they weren't called the Equity Group, as they refer to themselves today, or as they become known woke. They weren't known as woke as they are today. But we were telling people back all the way back then that they were the world depopulation. They had an organization that wanted to depopulate the world. And as I said, I would go to their meetings. They didn't know who I was. And I would sit there and I would take notes on all of what they said. And they were very careful. They were watching to see if you'd taped anything. And I hear they were talking about all of the different ways to depopulate the planet, through disease, through starvation, through war. Of course, child-killing abortion was one of their favorites. But vaccines. Vaccines was high in the list. And they talked about how people would never know. They would never know the difference because they would be believed that these vaccines were there to help. And all along they were there to thin out the population and to get rid of those that what they considered were not thoroughbreds. That these are the elite. Now, go ahead. Well, you still have these so-called elites out there. The mindset greater today than ever. And they're convinced that it's the best thing for survival of the planet to eliminate the masses. And these people actually believe that they're willing to even sacrifice themselves so that mankind can continue. And I'm talking about those in the media. The media is filled with these people. You got the John Kerrys, the Klaus Schwabs. They're out there.
You know, there was a doctor, Shiv Chopra. He passed away in 2018, I believe, early 2018, from colon cancer. But he was one of the leaders, or one of the top head honchos at Health Canada, which is the Canadian facsimile of the Food and Drug Administration here. And when he became a member of Health Canada, he convened an inquiry, a board of inquiry, to look for research from all of the vaccinations ever produced in humankind. He had different groups covering all of the different vaccines that had been created throughout humankind. And he wanted to know safety and efficacy reports of all of the vaccines. Safety and efficacy reports of all of the vaccines. And the results that his committee came back to him with, there is no safety and efficacy of any of the vaccines ever given to any human, ever.
Hang tight. I want to talk about that, but we're up against the break. We'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the Greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew the strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The tears in the last 100 years we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and their global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
Alrighty, we are back, and we have with us tonight our old friend, none other than the Peter J. Glidden. He's written some books, good ones, very good ones. One is Everybody is Sick and I Know Why, and the other one is Attempt a Cure, and that one is one that, Peter, the last time you were here on the program, we had a good supply, and then Shortly after the program was over, we no longer had any. In fact, we've got back orders. Is there a chance I could get some more of those books? We have
All you have to do is give me a wink and a nod. I'll send you more books in a heartbeat. Yeah, I'll take care of that tomorrow. No problem.
Consider yourself winked and nod. And especially the attempt to cure is the big one that they go after. And what you were talking about those vaccines, let me give you this and hear, see what you have to say. Okay, here we go again. The FDA advisors recommend the world's first RSV vaccine from Pfizer. That's right. This just last Tuesday, the Food and Drug Regime Advisory Committee voted in favor of the approval of the world's first respiratory syncytial virus vaccine for adults 60 and up from Pfizer. Boy, I'm going to tell you, you'd have to be really stupid, in my opinion, to take anything from Pfizer. What says Dr. Glidden?
Well, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, the vaccine industry. It takes about $50 billion just to manufacture the stuff. That's just what they spend on manufacturing. They triple that in their income, and they've got the world governments wrapped around their little fingers because it's you and I who pay for this. With our tax dollars, the government subsidizes the vaccines, and the vaccines are ineffective. They don't work. Let me say it again. When a vaccine manufacturer uses the word effective, they have a different definition of the word effective than we use in common parlance. Their definition of effective does not mean what the layperson thinks when they hear the word effective. It's a completely different thing. The vaccines are not safe. They are not. They do not protect anybody from getting the disease that they are labeled to prevent. It's a 100% shill show. It's 100% misdirect, and into the bargain, there's all kinds of bad stuff inside of the vaccine, which are causing net negative damage in the people who they are given to. And this is a gigantic problem brought to you by Pharmakia and by all nations. Remember, by all nations are deceived by Pharmakia, and there is no better example of that than the whole vaccine thing. And the problem here is that because the media is bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical industry, anybody who raises any criticism, especially if it's factual, especially if it's based on the published research, especially if it's academic, is shot down and slandered and blasphemed as an anti-vaxxer. This is a big problem. We haven't had a free medical market in this country since 1912, and we haven't had a free media probably for the last 50 years. And even Fox News, I believe, is controlled opposition. I think it's a lot worse than we think that it is, Pastor. And people need to learn what to do to take care of themselves, because the government isn't going to do it. Big Pharma definitely is not going to do it. And any time that they roll out a new vaccine, get down on your knees and pray and do not take it.
Well, you know, one of the things that they want to make sure is that why you can take it is by getting rid of the things that actually work. Now, here, Merrick has just came up. They're trying to kill off all of the generic ivermectin products because it's cutting into their profit now. So here, they're growing concerns that Merrick and potentially other pharmaceutical giants are working behind the scenes to shut down all generic production of ivermectin, particularly in India, where more than 50 different companies currently manufacture it for a global market. Dr. Kishore Nigel, chairman of the medical company Uwaka and director of Nego Amagaski Clinic in Japan's Hyogo Prefecture, issued a warning. You can watch an English translation proclaiming that the Merrick is now buying up the Indian companies that produce ivermectin in order to shut down their operations. There you go. So
yeah, well, because the patient cured is the client lost.
Absolutely.
So, that's 100%. That's their whole model. And, you know, from my point of view, Pastor, the whole vaccine thing is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, Alzheimer's is escalating here, the biblical proportions. Autism, 1 out of 50 kids now is born autistic. 1 out of 50 kids. 1 out of 50 kids is born autistic or develops autism. One of the main vectors of the development of autism is nutrient deficiencies in the pregnant mother and then vaccine harm brought to the brain of the child along with Tylenol after they're born and vaccinated. And type 2 diabetes is rising. Obesity is over a third of the adult population and the child population in this country is not just fat, but they're obese. Life expectancy is shortening. Chronic disease is escalating. The leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills, for goodness sake. And depending on how you crunch the numbers, it's either the number one or the number two cause of death in the United States is medical treatment. And this is a crap show. It's not just the vaccine thing. It's all of medicine across the board. And we desperately need a free medical market, but we don't have a free medical market. We're not ever going to have a free medical market if the pharmaceutical industry has anything to say about it because they don't want competition. The only thing that can legally treat a disease in the United States is a drug. It's a drug. If I discovered that dandelions cured liver cancer, the Food and Drug Administration would prohibit the growth of dandelions in your yard. They'd fine you if you grew it. The only ones that could make the dandelion medicine would be the pharmaceutical industry, and they'd charge you $1,000 a pill for it. And that's the way that it is right now in the United States of America. It's bad. And look, man, as bad as you think it is as a layperson looking in from a doctor's position who's been doing this, treating people for 34 years now, it's 1,000 times worse than you think it is.
Well, let me just ask you about that, because here, cardiac testing at a public event in Washington shows 53% of myocarditis rates in COVID vaccine victims. Okay, in other words, 53% of those that have gotten the certain COVID vaccines are getting myocarditis. Now, let me read you this real quick. On January 28th of this year, about 500 people from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, coverage in the Wenatchee Convention Center in Washington State to discuss Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19 vaccine injuries and death. Part of the gathering included heart screening, which showed a 53% myocarditis rate among those evaluated. Attendees share stories of injuries and deaths caused by the Fauci flu shots, as well as the stories about how jab and mask mandates ruined their lives and careers and tore families apart, not to mention all the business, churches, and schools that were shut down as well.
Liquor stores and the strip clubs were allowed to remain in business.
Yeah, they were. And that was a major thing. Now, here in Ohio, of course, none of the Unregistered Baptist Fellowship, Actual New Testament churches, none of our churches closed. We all stayed open because we understood the Word of God, that we're to obey God and not Caesar. And but a lot of them did close, and a lot of them never reopened, because when people left there, I heard that they were so disgusted with the fact that their churches didn't have the courage to stand up to Caesar that they never went back. And so, but here, again, I've got an article right here that says this. Top 10 myths told by COVID. By COVID experts that now are completely debunked. The natural immunity offers little protection compared to vaccine immunity. What do you think about that?
The opposite is true. It's like 10 times greater immunity from natural immunity than from any of the vaccines. I'm not sure that any of the vaccines have anything to do positively with preventing COVID at all, but natural immunity does. Natural immunity always has, and natural immunity always will. Why? Because God created natural immunity, and man created vaccines. Who the hell do you trust?
Well, how about number two? Masks prevent COVID transmission.
You know, thinking that a mask will prevent COVID transmission is as ridiculous as thinking that if you wear red sneakers, it's going to prevent bronchitis. It's just completely absolutely made-up mythology. I talked about this in 2020. I wrote a dissertation, a 30-page dissertation, about all of the coronavirus myths. It was taken off of social media. It was shut down. I was censored after 7 days. After 7 days. And everything, every one of the points that I talked about 3 years ago has been proven to be true, but I was censored because I was an anti-COVID Nazi freak. Quite frankly, these people, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Pastor. I want a front row seat above Hades to watch these people burn because they deserve it.
You're telling me, let me just read you these. You don't have to comment all unless you want to. The next one was, closing schools reduces COVID transmission. We know that that's an absolute lie. But here's one. Myocarditis caused by the jabs is exceedingly rare. I would say 53% of those that get it is not rare, would you?
What are you talking about, Pastor? It's just a coincidence. It's a coincidence, man. What are you, an anti-vaxxer? It's just a coincidence, for goodness sake.
You mentioned Fox News. Do you remember the number of these doctors that were on there who were pushing the jabs? They were on pushing, especially the one woman. She's very, very pretty, female doctor. She was on there pushing these jabs, and all of a sudden now she's walking all of that back. And she's saying she doesn't suggest you get it, and now especially absolutely not give it to the children. Absolutely not to the children. And
why is she walking it back now? Or wasn't she walking it? Why didn't you? Know, I mean, I don't understand it. I mean,
well, she's walking it back now because children are dying, and people are dropping dead. You know, you've got these athletes who are dropping dead all over the world, but they try to keep that out of the news. They don't want people to know about it. Okay.
And, yeah, but there were hundreds of us, if not thousands of us, 3 years ago, who were saying, "Don't get the jab." Because we could see through the science. We had a sense of what was going to happen because we have clinical experience, but we were all deplatformed and censored. I mean, for goodness sakes, if she was in favor of it then and she's not in favor of it now, I would actually question her IQ, quite frankly.
Well, let me just go on. Young people can benefit from giving the COVID booster. We know that's a lie. 7. It is a conspiracy theory to suggest that COVID came from the Wuhan lab. We told you right from the beginning. We were telling you that the very first of this stuff, we were playing the clips of one of the scientists that worked, a Chinese lady, doctor, and we played her clips right from the very beginning talking about how it escaped from the lab, okay? And she was actually hiding because they wanted to kill her. And of course now they've come out and they've admitted that, okay, the Biden regime. People must get the second jab dose 3 or 4 weeks after the first one. Bivalent booster is backed by crystal clear science. What a lie. What a lie. Wow.
It's filled. It's all just one giant pack of lies. It always has been, and it always will be. And honestly, I don't know where it's going to end. And, you know, the bigger thing to talk about here, Pastor, right, is that those of us who were enlightened by the grace of God years ago to have a sense of the truth of things, we spoke up about this and we talked out about this, but it didn't really matter. It didn't really do much. Didn't really make a ripple because of the way that the media influences everything here. And the media is bought and sold by the pharmaceutical industry, and the pharmaceutical industry is satanic. But now all of this information is coming out. Everything that we've said is being proved true, which begs the question then, well, what's going to happen? What are the consequences going to be? What is the government going to do? What's the pharmaceutical industry going to do? What are regulating bodies going to do to prevent things like this from happening in the future? The answer is nothing. Nothing is going to change. That's the take-home message here. Be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Be very afraid of anybody in the government telling you anything about public health because they have been bought and sold down the river. Do not listen to them. You have to find an alternative source of science-based, clinically verified information that you can lean on in order to optimize your body's structure and function.
But isn't that happening? I mean, look, in my world, I'm seeing more and more and more people go to the natural herb stores, the stores where they sell natural herbs, natural medicines. At least,
yeah, and they are. And I mean, my profession has grown exponentially since I became a doctor in 1991. There is a movement here, but my position is that the movement away from pharmaceutical medicine is working at a snail's pace, and the movement to foster the corruption and foster the lies and foster the agenda of the pharmaceutical industry is growing in leaps and bounds. The only thing that gives me any hope whatsoever is the fact that maybe, you know, we are the silent majority, and that maybe people who think like we do and people who know the things that we know are actually in the majority, but we just don't have a voice because of the media control. I can hope that that's true. Certainly, you know, well, I want to believe that that's true, and that's what gets me out of bed every morning, is to be able to provide this information. And more medical doctors are coming around. I mean, they are. But the way that I look at it, Pastor, I'm thinking, well, where the hell were these people 3 years ago? Because I knew about this. You knew about this. They're medical doctors. They should have known about it. I mean, I'm glad that they've seen the light, right? Praise the Lord and pass the hat. I'm glad that they've seen the light. Maybe there will be a ripple effect. Maybe more and more people will start to have courage. Maybe more and more people will start to realize what personal integrity means. Maybe more and more doctors will really start to stand up and say, look, no, enough is enough. Stop it. Stop it. Enough is enough. I hope that that happens. And perhaps you're seeing it better than I do.
Well, I had a doctor from the VA, a young female doctor, very energetic woman, and of course she was totally indoctrinated into, you know, the big pharmacia and this and that, and she was trying to get me to take these vaccines, and I told her, no, I don't want any part of that, don't take any of that, stay away from those drugs. Wanted me to take about every shot you can imagine, shingles shot, you know, flu shot, and I told her, I said, those things are no good, and she says, well, you have to follow the science. Well, here's what happened. I told her, no, what you need to do, and I explained to her, look, God gave us natural herbs. God gave it. Now, God's known since the beginning of time for knowing exactly what he's doing, you see. And big pharma, okay, and pharmakia means witchcraft, and it's like she was totally... Wow, I mean, yeah, that's what the word means. Wizardry, pharmakia, wizardry. And it was like, you know, this does not compute. She had this look on her face. But yeah. but check this out. So she was telling me about this new guy. They had a colonel who was there, who was in charge, this new doctor. And she was telling me how this guy, well, he was so great. I mean, he was really, you know. And guess what? I go, and the next time I see her, she says, you know, the colonel said what you said. He said, you're better off, you're much better off to stay with natural herbs, did you?
Yeah.
And I said, Colonel's a pretty smart guy. I'd listen to him.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know what I heard the other day? I have a friend who was an advisor for the Reagan administration. He's a medical doctor. His name is Dave Janda. And Reagan told him that Ronald Reagan, on a daily basis, took the botanical medicine olive leaf every day. He took olive leaf extract, and he told Dave that he took it because he didn't want his hair to get gray, and also because it helped his immune system. And that was Ronald Reagan, ahead of his time in so many ways.
Wow. So now you tell me about not turning your hair gray. All right, okay. So, I tell you, I mean, is there an olive leaf shampoo? Maybe I can catch up. I don't know. Well, at least I still got my hair. Okay, so, you know, I guess I should be thankful for that. But
that's right. You're ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you might say so. Yeah. Anyhow, Attempt to Cure, folks. This is a holistic medicine, the book. I'm going to tell you, it's a good one because you can look up from A to Z. You've got all the maladies in there, and you tell the people, look, this is what you how you treat these with natural herbs. Now, since you've said that, before we come up to the break, by the way, after the break, we're going to play a clip, and the clip is about some of the things we can do to take America back, to take America back, so that we can have the freedom we need to put down Big Pharma. We need to, actually Big Pharma needs to go to prison, don't they? They've killed so many people.
100%.
So, but after the break, we're going to play that. But between the next 3 minutes, tell me this, because vitamins are not vitamins. You go into them, some of these things are made like out of chemicals, and they're made with clamshells and things. But only I only look for vitamins that are made in, with natural foods. Is that the right thing to do?
Well, that's the better option. I mean, any vitamin is better than no vitamin. And the vitamins that have natural origins are better than their contemporaries. But even a bad vitamin will be effective. And, you know, it's a big deal here because, I mean, we're at a point now where so many people are just under-nutrified so much that I'm saying, look, man, just take anything you can afford. Just get anything you can afford. Get it into your body. And there are variations on that curve. I mean, this is my profession's wheelhouse. We literally wrote the book on medical nutrition, and there are shades of gray here, right? There's really kind of mediocre vitamin and mineral supplements. There's middle-of-the-road vitamin and mineral supplements. And then there's excellent ones. It's the same in any industry, quite frankly. But from my point of view, any vitamin is better than no vitamin. And if you can afford the good stuff, then you should definitely get the good stuff.
The good stuff is whole food. The good stuff is whole food vitamins, right? And just like one of the things that they're promoting is Nature's Balance.
Yeah.
I think that would be an excellent choice too. And of course, tell the folks where you get your stuff.
Well, I've been doing this for 34 years, and the most effective nutritional supplements I've ever seen are distributed by a company called Eiffel Health. That's Eiffel, like the tower in France, Eiffel, E-I-F-F-E-L, health.com. Check their website out or go to their, give them a call. It's 888-618-1796, 888-618-1796. Neither Pastor nor I make any money on the sale of these nutritional supplements. I'm telling you to get them because they are the most effective ones I have ever seen, and I've been doing this for 34 years. 888-618-1796, EiffelHealth.com.
And thanks to you, I've got a box sitting right here, and I've been taking the minerals and that very, very good-tasting orange or tangerine orange drink that's loaded with vitamins and the calcium mix here. I've been taking the whole bunch. And so,
that's great. You know, the vitamin that you were talking about before, what's it called? Healthy Choice or something?
Mm-hmm. Nature's Balance. But hold on. We're right up against that break. So when we come back, you can tell us about what you were going to say there. But we're going to a clip, and this fellow's got a very good idea about what we need to do. And I think we're on to this, so be right back after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.